Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with Joe Martin and Michelle Daugherty at Real Living at Home, joining us today to kind of take a deeper dive into social media, brand awareness, and how she has built her brand and her relationships through local boards, stature, and relationships with her consumers. Michelle, welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact.
Thank you for having me.
No, we appreciate having you. We always like to have different audience types here. And as I was leading in, you're very dialed in today. And I appreciate you elevating our game a little bit. You know, you didn't show up with a ball cap. You know, you're representing. And I'll say that dials back to the brand, if I had to guess.
Yes, it does. My grandmother, who I spent most of my time with, was a very proper Southern woman, in a sense where she always dressed to impress and put herself together. And then on my father's side, I am from Derry City, and Derry girls are known for being always put together, always dolled up. So between the two of those sides, I was destined to kind of come out looking like this.
So you represent.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Well, for those of us that are listening, or for those of our audience that are listening and not watching, or those that are watching and listening, why don't you give them a little background if they don't know exactly who you are? You know, how did you get into this game that we call real estate, and why are you so passionate about social media and the involvement that you've kind of, the approach you've kind of taken at that level?
So I got into real estate immediately after college. I was 22 years old. I met a really cool realtor. You know, she was not much older than me. She, you know, all my friends were going into 9-to-5s with these older, you know, bosses, and I had a cool boss. She made real estate fun. And I didn't know much. And I think that was a blessing at the time when I was getting into it, because I didn't really understand exactly how this world worked. And I got a good worldview of it. And then just naturally, I was going to go back to school to get my graduate degree in DC at GW. I went ahead and took the GREs, did all those kind of things. And just decided that, you know what, I think I'm going to stick this out. I think I'm going to continue doing this real estate thing. And I'm very happy I did, because I've never done anything else. And through truly not doing anything else as far as a career besides real estate, I naturally fell into getting involved at the local association, which propelled me into getting involved statewide and nationally wide. And I think because I was so young, and it gave me an opportunity to provide such a foundation for my family to, you know, a very generous living and things that I had never really imagined for my family and for my life to happen at such a young age, I was passionate about giving back to the community that's given me so much. And I think that real estate is one of the best career paths for young people to get involved, regardless if they want to, go to college or not. I have seen people who have not gone to college and gone straight into real estate, and they've done phenomenally well. So I advocate for this to be a career path and not just a hobbyist kind of career, because it is truly been a honor to be part of this world. And I'm so grateful that it's, you know, turned out the way it has for me.
That's pretty awesome. So what level of impact has the social media side provided? Like, you're coming at this from a little bit different angle. A lot of times when we hear from agents, they're talking about the social side and the relationships to their sphere. You do that, but you're also bringing that, instead of like a local community knowledge, you're bringing the real estate knowledge. How did that connect with you, and how are you weaving that back into your business?
So in 2015, when I decided that I was going to start using social media as part of my business, I kind of took this leap of faith, because I was like, okay, people could make fun of me, because I wanted to be, you know, obvious, like, hey, this is what I do. I'm always here. Here's my knowledge. Here's what I'm doing. This is what my day in a life looks like, without being too aggressive, because I had this issue. I hated cold calling. I hated just dialing for dollars. I hated it. I did it. I hated it. I hated my life, and it sucks. Okay. It sucks. And, but I wanted a way to do that without having to do that. Does that make sense? And so I was like, social media can be dialing for dollars, but more authentic interactions versus, hey, it's Michelle Doherty here at Arla at Properties. Have you thought about buying or selling in 2020? You know what I mean? Like, that just felt so inauthentic to me, and I wanted it to feel more authentic.
It's so authentic the way you just delivered it, though.
Yeah, that sounds so authentic. But I wanted to use that. And I knew, I was like, okay, people are going to make fun of me probably, but who cares, right? Like, I just got to like tune that part out and just know that this is a long game and not a short game. And that I may not get direct business out of it in the next 6 months, in the next year, but in the long run, it will pay off. And that was in 2015. And I can for sure say it has paid off for me. And again, I don't look at social media or really any business like venture that I go into, whether it's leads versus you know what I'm investing for my business. I never look at the short-term delivery. I look at the long-term because this isn't a get-rich-quick scheme or business to be in. Anything worth doing is worth waiting for. And this is truly a business that you got to put those Easter eggs out there. And when they're truly ready, they'll all come home to roost. And I think my year this year is proven that you do the work years in advance. And then at some point, either it all comes at you at one point or it comes through, you know, multiple years. But this year has been really proven that the work I did in 2021, 2022, and 2023 is coming home to roost now in 2024. Oh, I think you're on mute.
Yeah, so I got a question for you. You brought up like giving back and having an impact through like your business, like in real estate. Let me ask you this direct question. What was the social impact that real estate provided to you through that vehicle? Because you're like, hey, I could have gone back, got you know more location, but you decided to stay in real estate and going, you know, knowing you personally, like I know there's always a social impact and a give back. What did you see real estate as the vehicle for that like you couldn't have gotten anywhere else?
So it was that positive effect of change. I know I was helping families build generational wealth or, you know, these people become the first homeowner in their entire family lineage and, or getting to be part of this small story of like a small part of that family story where, you know, they got married, they bought the house and then they brought home the kid. That's a pretty intimate part to be a part, like part to play is being the person that helped facilitate, bring them a place where they're going to bring home their first child, where they're going to raise their family. Or to be on the other side of that, the flip side of it is they're at the end of that chapter, they're downsizing and they're navigating that emotional like part of selling your home that you've lived in for 35 to 40 years and you raised all your children. That's really like where I was like, oh, I find so much purpose in helping navigate that part. The money is a byproduct. It's being able to be like, you know, it's time for us to move on from this house. You know, we need to downsize or, you know, I just had this surgery on my back. Like, it's just, you know, I dreamed of being able to stay in this home, but I don't think we're going to be able to. Or, you know, we're moving to St. Louis to be with the rest of our family or something like that. It's just being able to be a part of a very intimate part of people's families is just what I found so much purpose in that like really made me excited each day to get up because as we all know, real estate is not for the weak. It is not for the meek and it is not for the weary because there are things that are going to come up. There are going to be people you have to interact with that aren't exactly fun. And you have to hold on to that purpose or that why. I have my own why as far as my family's concerned, but my biggest purpose when I was young and I didn't have my husband, I didn't have children, was I was making a difference and a positive difference for these people, for these families. I was helping them build generational wealth, change the trajectory of their family's lives in a positive way.
I think, thank you for sharing that one, because I think there's a lot of like, going back to just entrepreneurial impact, is that as a one person that like, I think there's huge value in the 1% better every day or 1% impact every day, that like the transitional compounding effect of growth for somebody, or the fact that you were able to give a vehicle of real estate that is one of the best vehicles for wealth creation, but it also gives shelter, also gives identity, also gives confidence, also gives a sense of like ownership, right? And in a world where we're shifting to a lot of renting and people don't have a sense of like community, that's the one thing that, you know, provides people to say, you know, you see this, like, I'll use this example because we're in the DMV, is it like you got people like, I'm from Virginia, I'm from Maryland, I would never go to Maryland, I would never go to Virginia, and Maryland's got the worst drivers. No, Virginia's got the worst drivers. But there's this identity.
Who would ever say that? Who would ever say, I would never.
But so I think the identity that comes from community like that is really awesome. And I think that shifts into the question that we really wanted to bring on the show today, was really the brand identity that you've created in social media to not only obviously position your sales team, but also use that platform for change at the board level, at the national level for NAR, and also just for social impact initiatives that you have that are near and dear to your heart. So I'd love to know, like, how you see social media as, instead of dialing for dollars, as that vehicle to produce your message, identity, to cause change for the positive. Like, I'd love to see, what does Michelle think about when she gets up on a daily, weekly, monthly basis about the collateral she creates in social media to stay on brand, to push those initiatives?
Well, so with social media, I found that from the very beginning, the way it resonates with people and you get the biggest impact or you get the biggest bang for your buck is just remaining completely 100% authentic to yourself. Because if you're presenting yourself on social media as one way, but then when you go meet somebody in person, you're a completely different way, there you lost it, right? Like, there's, you've lost that link in the chain. So I just knew immediately, I'm like, okay, I have to come correct and authentic, good, bad, or ugly. So for me, I know that if I stay true to who I am, again, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I know that. I'm a lot to take in. But I know that I'm a couple people's cup of tea, and they are ride or die for me, which is wonderful. And I also, I'm not just a realtor, right? I wear that name proudly. I will probably have it somewhere on my tombstone, but I also love Bravo. I also am passionate about giving back to our community. I'm also about passionate about lobbying for private property rights and stillbirth awareness and all these other factions. So there's a lot of like parts of me that make Michelle. So I like to bring that to the surface and share all that stuff because you just don't know what will resonate. Like my OOTDs that I just call it what you want to call it. It's a sickness. I love clothes. I like buying clothes. I like looking nice. I like dressing up. It's an addiction like anything else. I'm not addicted to meth. I'm addicted to wearing nice clothes. There you go. So who would have thought that my OOTDs would be a vehicle to certain people to work with me? Like, never would I have thought that, like, people, literally, I've had people respond from an OOTD that I post, be like, oh my gosh, that's so cute, where'd you get it? Also, like, I need to sit down with you and talk to you about potentially buying a house. Like, just wild to me. Had you told me that, like, 5 years ago, you'd be sharing your outfits and people would be responding with requests to, like, sit down about potentially buying or selling their home, I'd be like, you're unwell and I need to check you into a mental hospital. Because how does one translate to the other? But you just never know what's going to resonate. And by making yourself 100% authentic and opening yourself up to all the different parts of yourself that, like, certain, you know, things, sports, whatever, you just don't know what's going to connect with people and what's going to draw people in. And so with that, like, authentic brand awareness, I'm super pink, I'm super blonde, I'm very out there, I like social media, I like Bravo, I like all of those things are well known. With that brand encompassing, like, all those fractions, I think it's built this, like, kind of cult community, if you will. And then through that, because they know I'm authentic and they know and they can trust that, like, what I'm telling them is true, I'm able to kind of be a voice of reason, especially in the midst of all this change. So when, you know, before the lawsuit was completely, you know, we came to an agreement and all that kind of stuff, there was so much hysteria. There still kind of is. But I was, you know, because I've done so much with NAR, I feel very confident about how to navigate this new world. I don't have fear around it because we've been through change before. This is just a different fraction of that change. And also us here in Virginia, DC and Maryland, we're very fortunate. We've all primarily understood and navigated by our agency. So we already have a leg up on, you know, 42 other states that didn't have buyer agency at all. So I think I've been able to calm the masses, or at least the masses that follow me, put accurate information out about what's actually happening and how this is going to work, and disseminate some of the hysteria, if you will, that we're seeing from some of our real estate news outlets about what's actually going on. And so I think that's like kind of what I've built there. I'm very interested to see, you know, on August 17th and after, how people respond, but I'm going to keep, you know, putting out what's happening. Cause again, I tell people, good, bad, or ugly, exactly what I'm experiencing. And I'm going to keep being involved at NAR. I know people have strong feelings about that. I've heard them directly through my DMs or otherwise. But I feel that we're stronger together. And for me, I think NAR, our state and local association, that's what binds us all together. And you can think that they don't have a purpose, but I promise you our trade associations are there to bring us together, band us together as one community. And I think more so than ever, we should be leaning into that and not away from it.
Yeah, I think you're right. When you look at, now you have a platform, right? And you have the information, and you've been organically and naturally been able to connect with your audience. And that's the thing when we talk a lot of times, that you can't force the narrative. You can only be you on social media. Like, you can't replicate other people. And when I look at the conversations that people are trying to have, it's always important for me to say, look, you really need to kind of have to follow others first. And you might have a voice, but you have to find your voice at the same time, but what that looks like online.
Yes.
I know you said it kind of came a little bit naturally to you, but how would you explain that in more detail to somebody that's passionate or has a voice, but doesn't know how to communicate that properly through social media channels?
I would say that's a very good question. So that is a very good question. I don't know how exactly.
We do strive for those.
I think it's a series of unfortunate events, maybe I could say, that led to, I don't know.
Wow, Joe, I actually stumped somebody after 110 episodes.
Because it is very funny, because I'm like, how did I get to be, I think it's one age, right? Like, I am just very comfortable with being who I am. And I don't know if that's because I'm 35 now, because you know, at 25, at 27, 28, even you, like, I would even say at 30, like, you're still sort of figuring yourself out, if you will, as in a young adult. But like at 35, like, I truly know who I am. I, you know my values. I know what's important to me, and I am, you know, sticking to those values. But I think it's just like over time. Yes, I think if you go back to my old, like, content, you could kind of see that I was, like stepping in the dark, like, trying to figure it out, you know? It's, like, recreating other people's wheel, which is, like, our saying, like, don't recreate the wheel here in real estate, because there's somebody out there who's done it, who's perfected it, just right. Copy, paste, and make it your own, right? So I feel like I've done that, but I also, like, I also have taken up parts from outside of the real estate world, right? Like the blogging world, the, you know, news world, anything like that. I think it's because I'm a diverse person that I have kind of cultivated this version of myself.
Well, I think you touched on it a little bit there too, because you said you had to kind of work your way through it, right?
Yes.
I think that's a scarcity of mindset for a lot of people, that they don't allow themselves the time to grow with the platforms.
Yes.
Right? They're terrified. Like, it's one thing to kind of be behind the keyboard and post something. But now, yes, when we look at reels and stories and pretty much so much video of us being out there now, you really just kind of have to go rip that Band-Aid off, jump out, see how it feels and how does your audience respond, and then go from there.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% because I, like, for example, I love Chris Perry with Coldwell Banker, but I'm not Chris Perry, right? His content would look weird on me and my content would look weird on him. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's one of those things. You just, and his early content, he was also trying to figure it out. Like he has, there's just certain things that he's really good at that I don't think would resonate with me coming across, right? Like he can take snippets from MSNBC and be like, this is what this means in layman terms for you living here in the DMV. And for me, I'm like, yeah, no, I know that, but like, I don't know if that would also resonate with my people. I don't know. Yeah. But again, maybe I try it. Who knows?
There's no fail there. There's no wrong there, right?
Exactly, because there's no failing social media unless you literally like commit crimes on social media.
Well, we've all seen something else. Let's
I mean, in this realm, like in the realm where we're not doing weird stuff, but like there's no failing, right? Like if a reel or a post doesn't pop off, there's no there and like doesn't like go viral, there's no one coming to take me to jail, right? Like there's no one who's going to like take my paycheck from me for it, right? So it's like if you're again, we still have a code of ethics to abide by. So like if you're adhering to the code of ethics and you're posting your content in that guise that you're always a realtor first, always put that hat on, and you're posting content on the regular, there's no failing. Like if there's just not enough people watching it, you haven't grown enough. Like I'm like below 5,000 followers. That's taken a long time for me to build up. And I don't actively go search out to grow that following because for me, I want people to organically find me or be told to go follow me and want to stay and view whatever hilarious content that I try to come up with, you know?
Good job.
There's two things that I hear you bringing up, Michelle, is that you said you kind of like fall into it. And what I think I'm hearing that one is really just do it. Like have an idea, see value that someone else would receive in that and just go do it. And then over time you'll get better about it. So falling into it is literally like part of social media. Your brand strategy is just do it and you'll get comfortable with it. The second one that you're bringing up, which was funny, I'm reading the book called Insights that is literally all dedicated to self-awareness. So what I'm hearing you say for tips and tricks on like marketing yourself is just go do it and figure out the best practices as you get immediate feedback. And number two is, are you self-aware enough about yourself so that you come off authentic, and that if you're authentic, the stuff and marketing you put out is going to come off way better to people because they know it's truly who you are.
Exactly. And it doesn't feel forced.
It sounds such like a simple answer, but it's, I don't know if people overly complicate it or just so paralyzed
the decision,
right?
We overly complicate it in our brains because our brain is protecting our body, right? Like our insides, like are telling ourselves like we can do it, but our brain's like, no, hold on. Let's think about it for a second. Let's safeguard your sanity, your heart, your, you know, embarrassment, because our brains are there to protect the rest of the body. Our body might want to do certain things, but our brain is there to basically talk ourselves out of it. Like for example, the saying trust your gut. Trusting your gut, especially like for me, I'm a Cancer, right? Like so my chakra, my gut. Yeah. Are you a Cancer?
July 20th, this Saturday.
Oh, happy birthday. Here's
Joe,
the thing.
When's yours, Joe?
Male Cancers can be a little testy. Can be spicy.
July 28th, Leo.
Oh, Joe Rolls.
Oh. He's a lion, our little lion.
Oh, that's it. You will forever be known as Simba.
Astrology impact inside of the real estate community. That's how we're going to change this thing over.
Listen, billionaires use astrology. Why the fuck aren't we? Hello?
We've gone down such a random caveat this year. But I got one final thing though, because I think it was hilarious to know that we got two Cancers and a Leo on here. You do a ton of give back work through our NVAR, a ton of leadership and donating of your time to NVAR and NAR. And because we're obviously we're an entrepreneurial impact, so we interview all kinds of different entrepreneurs, but obviously a focus in real estate. And I've got a huge drive to make sure that our board that represents over 12,000 associates in Northern Virginia makes a change and makes impact. As one of those executive level leaders on the board of directors, from Michelle's point of view, what is the one thing that you want to make sure gets changed to impact not only our agents, but also the consumers they serve within NVAR and NAR? Like, if you were to known for one thing that you were trying to champion change and impact, what is that that our constituents need to know?
Young leaders being more involved, and that being a high producer doesn't mean that you don't have the time to be involved, because you will make the time if it means something to you. And I argue that those top producers in our business right now, we need them in executive leadership more than ever. They are in the trenches alongside of us, and they are doing 80% of the deals. And we're going to need that leadership, not only that they're showing their teams, we're going to need a sliver of that at the association level to steer this ship. It's more important than ever. And I think we're going to see more young leadership come into the fold. I do beg those top producers in our area to just cut out a small sliver of time to be involved in that executive leadership, because this is a hallmark history-making time in our industry, and they are going to be leading a lot of it. We also need them in that boardroom, making sure that the ship is also being steered on that front and making sure that their voices feel heard, because I know that a lot of our top producers don't feel that way, and we want to make sure that they feel they have a home, that their voice is heard, and that the change that's going to happen, they feel confident in.
Well, listen, I love that. I love that mindset. And I spend a lot of time talking with people about their mindset around where they are in business, in production, or even being relatively new, and ignoring the obstacles that there are people that have been around then who've 10x their business at this point. But the great thing is we all started at the same spot.
Exactly.
That is lost on so many people with worrying about playing catch up. I'm like, don't worry about that. Plug yourself in, be you, right? Talk to your audience and grow your business, and you'll get there, because it is a business.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Michelle, I really appreciate you joining us today and having a little fun with us.
Happy to. It was so fun.
And we reserve the right to recall you back in any other time and have a little bit more fun.
We'll do an astrology session. I'll do y'all's charts next.
Actually, we could do that. We should actually have some fun and actually get rid of this, like, all business stuff and actually see, like, what it means to have astrology.
Because I'm saying, listen, now's the time to clue in. I'm just saying.
All right. So everybody, if you're listening, you want your chart read, reach out to Michelle.
I don't know how to do your chart, but I got a great person to do it for you.
Oh, fantastic. Well, excellent. Well, thanks for helping us out. Thanks for talking to our people, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.